starts right now.
Welcome, everyone, to this week's episode of Grapplecast. It's me, your host, Taryn, and today I'm joined by Dan and Joe. Hello.
What up, Oos? Yeet.
Hello, my trouble chief.
Hello, indeed. Did you enjoy our new introduction?
Yes, it was like a mix between Fozzy and Steel Panther. It was very energetic. I liked it. Were you singing?
No, that was all me. That was all my vocals. Yes. Should I do Eurovision?
Yeah. What country would you represent?
This is the issue, isn't it? You could represent any country. You don't even have to be from your country of origin.
Well, a gentleman called John Lillygreen, who performs in Newport quite a bit, really nice guy. He represented Cyprus with John Lillygreen and the Islanders a few years back. He came 21st, but I thought he did
out
well.
Out of 24?
Out of 27.
25, 27, yeah, there you go.
Yeah. But he was good. He's very good. I think he was a finalist on the X Factor a few years back as well.
Well, he got to Eurovision. That's more than what most do.
Donald Skean, the chef that usually on This Morning, he represented Ireland 1 year at Eurovision as well. Loads of people have been in it.
They have, and as I said, other people have represented Eurovision for countries.
Has a wrestler ever been in Eurovision?
Oh, well, find out at the quiz later. No, that's not a question, is it? I would probably say no, because I'm quite a bit of a Eurovision fanboy, weirdly.
Because we could have, like, Rusev could represent Bulgaria. That would be pretty decent. And
is Bulgaria in your?
I don't know. But I know that we could have Giovanni Vinci. He could be representing Italy. And you could have Axiom representing Spain. And yeah, it'd be great. Who would represent France? I can't think of anybody French stars. Was it Amel? I think that was her name in NXT UK. She represented
AEW. There
you go.
She's an AEW, is she?
Yeah.
Bulgaria is not even a country, technically. It's a... yes, it is a country. Well, why did it say there, then? It says Bulgaria is a territory of Europe. But yeah, when you click on it, of course it's a country. Yeah, so it is in Europe. So there you go. It's bordered by Greece and Turkey.
We could have Ludwig Kaiser. He's going to represent Germany. And Gunther will represent Austria. You know, it's all coming together, Taryn.
And Grayson Waller can represent Australia, because Australia have been in Eurovision for the last 6 years.
The Caribbean are in Europe this year as well.
There you go. So
Kofi Kingston could represent the Caribbean for Jamaica.
He's
from Ghana, isn't he? Not Jamaica.
Who knows where he's from? I don't think even he knows now. But yeah,
he's from Ghana, West Africa.
That was our new introduction. How pleasant.
It's nice. It's nice to mix it up sometimes. I love our yellow logo. Much better than the first logo we had. But it's nice to have new themes. I think you were just getting sick of me saying ring the bell, having to cut me out of it at the end of every single episode.
I suppose you technically can do, because I think it's still in the introduction. I've only listened to it a couple of times, but that might be there. Or no, actually, ring the bell might have been a different introduction that we tested.
Oh, hey, it's all good. You know, as long as
it's all good anyway.
It's all good, yeah.
It's all good. And speaking of all good, or was it all good, we had this year's WWE draft taking place on SmackDown and Raw. And guess what? Probably to shock you even more, I watched both SmackDown and Raw.
Jesus. Did you put 50p in your Alecky meter to watch it this week, did you?
I did, and it's still going strong. I've still got about 20p left, because I skipped about half of Raw just to find out.
You skipped half of Raw. Yeah, Alpha Academy having a tag match against Awesome Truth. Skipped. And what's her face from Alpha Academy having a match against...
Maxine Dupree, is it?
Yeah, she had a match against Candice Ruiz. We skipped that, and after the main event, we skipped. So it's like, oh, you know what? Come on, let's go. SmackDown's in France this week, and along with Backrass.
It certainly is.
Yeah.
It is, and I believe it's a sick... For our friends here in the UK, I'm not sure what it is in America, so you'll have to check. But for the UK, I believe, for both SmackDown and Backlash, it's a 6 p.m. start, I've read.
It's weird, because they're an hour in front of us, so I would have predicted it would be like more 8 o'clock. But you know what? Yep. I'm happy for that. You know what? I actually might stay up for this one.
Yes, it's 6 o'clock. You know what? I may do too. I may
means we'll have to miss the 1% Club, though.
Oh. Although I do record the 1% Club. I haven't watched it this week. I only watched last week's yesterday, so I haven't even watched the one from Saturday yet. So
we take it very seriously.
We take it very seriously as well.
When I'm watching it with my family, they get annoyed. Like, if you try and explain the answer, you have to say what your answer is, And then we stop before they say the answer and say, well, I think it's four, because there's one, two, there's three there, and there's another one there, so it's four. We explain it then, otherwise you get, no, you're interrupting my thought process.
It's a good show. You
know, mate, I love quiz shows in general.
I would recommend it to anyone.
Lee and Mac, it's good. He's taking a little break from it, I think. But I think when the next series comes out, I might apply for it. I think Joe should apply for it. He's the only one of us who haven't been on a quiz show yet. I think he should go on there.
I think you should. Yes, I agree. Right, let's get back to the draft then. Can I just say, this year's draft, I found it a little lacklustre, a little bit boring. I'm sorry,
you don't,
Joe,
watch NXT, that's why.
I found it, well, taking NXT out of it, Joe, I found the draft this year just a bit...
Yeah, like all of the champions were pretty much protected, so like all the Raw champions stay on Raw, all the SmackDown championship, all the SmackDown champions stay on SmackDown, so like... That was part of the jeopardy. Like when they first brought in the draft, like they were like changing the commentators, they were changing like the announcers, they were changing like literally everyone. And then, quite like when they first started doing it, it's like somebody being drafted to Raw, for example, and then halfway through the show, they drafted back to SmackDown. Whereas like now it's just like, no, you're on Raw now, you're on SmackDown now. And as we were saying before, we started going like a lot of the superstars haven't changed rosters at all, they just stayed.
I think this is the issue from most people, is that, and don't get me wrong, there's always going to be an element of somebody not moving, and I think they were describing it as, oh, they're cementing their place on the brand, they don't want to let them go, so they're obviously, you know, keeping them on that show. But you know, they always say it's time to shake things up again, and it just doesn't feel very shaken, Dan.
It did a bit. I mean, what got me, like there was some nice bits we had, like DIY going over to SmackDown, same with Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell. That kind of freshens it up a little bit. You know, if I say to you, like, we've seen the New Day versus Imperium about 75 times. We've seen the LWO versus the Legado del Fantasma about 75 times. So with this shakeup, it means that they're all now on different brands. I think New Day and Imperium might be on the same brand, but with the others, it mixes it up a little bit. But it means that we are shaking it up. We are getting some new matches, which is good. What got me, though, is they're sensible in terms of drafting a faction. But Imperium were only drafted as Ludwig, Kaiser and Gunther. But Giovanni Vinci wasn't included because they kicked him out last week. But then on SmackDown, with the LWO, Carlito turned on Dragon Lee, was revealed as the attacker, but in the draft, it showed that he's still in the end LWO. And Rey Mysterio was asked about it. He's like, oh yeah, we've got unfinished business. We need to speak to him. So is it going to be like, oh yeah, you did attack him, but we can see why, because I should have had you in the WrestleMania match. Okay, we're still all really good friends. It just doesn't make sense. Like, you've got the Italian kicked out of Imperium, then surely you've got Carlito kicked out of the LWO. I know they want to continue the feud, so it makes sense to block him together, but he's not technically part of the LWO. He turned his back on him last week. So some of it just didn't make any sense whatsoever. But other picks, you know, seeing like Damage Control come over to Raw, they face Bayley straight away. Becky Lynch. So you can see the Raw women's division is bolstered and is quite strong. The matches didn't make sense on Raw this week. Having Nia Jax face Liv Morgan for the number one contender for the Raw Women's title, even though she's been drafted to SmackDown and she beat up Naomi last week. So some of it just doesn't add up. But it's WWE, it never makes sense, but we enjoy it for what it is.
We do. And just before we move on, we're going to have a quick breakdown now of both SmackDown and Raw, of which picks went where and our highlights from it. I have just realised I have neglected to mention the fact that Jamie isn't on the show this week. Or we don't expect him to be. And that's because it's a happy birthday, Jamie.
Happy birthday, bruv.
Happy birthday from all at Grapplecast to Jamie. It's his birthday today. So he said if he can get on during the show, he will. If not, I certainly don't expect him to be on.
Did you buy him?
I didn't. I bought him nothing.
You didn't even get him a Colin the Caterpillar gift?
We bought each other something for our 21st, and we bought each other something for our 30th, and now we're both 33. Old. So our next time we'll do our 40th, I'm sure.
You didn't even want to get him Clash of the Castle tickets?
I suppose we should also mention that as well before we get into the draft.
I like playing the game. I played it with a couple of people. People who like don't often go to WWE that often. I was like, right, Clash at the Castle tickets. Obviously, I tried to get them. Guess how much they were a ticket? I played it with our, I say friend of the show. He can have a listen to the podcast, Dean. I said, go on, Dean, guess how much a ticket was? Like I said, you know, it's for SmackDown and for Clash. How much are tickets? He goes, oh, 100? I said, nope. 750? Nope. 200? Nope. 250? Nope. Oh, come on, you're taking the mic. Nope, 350 quid it's starting at. And that's for aisle restricted view seats. 350 quid a ticket. So 700 quid for two tickets.
And how much was, like, ringside?
Ringside was best part of $2,500.
It's just...
But you'd be on there, you keep refreshing, going, no. Because they did advertise some tickets on there for 179 quid. But you keep refreshing, where are these tickets? And eventually it will go, well, we can't find you the 179 quid tickets, but we can offer you £800 tickets. So it's like 1600 quid for two tickets. And you go, well, okay, I pay that. Then I've got to get accommodation. Then I've got to get flights or train up there. I'm looking the best part of £2,000 for two people to go up to Clash.
I think the scary thing is as well, they've teased yet again this time round with Sadiq Khan, the London mayor, saying that, you know, he wants to bring WrestleMania to London and he wants to bring the Super Bowl and the Olympics back again eventually and all this kind of stuff. And obviously, again, probably more so just to get people talking, Triple H pull of it, retweeted it and basically said,
it's election season, we're all voting this week.
Exactly, yeah. Again, I'm still not convinced it'll happen. But let's just say, for example...
Are you guys voting this week?
We've got the local police commissioner elections.
We've got police commissioner and councillor elections, which is brilliant.
So, you know, let's just say for argument's sake, it does happen in the next few years. I know you're probably thinking more likely it will than me, but let's just say it does. If we're talking, you know, let's call it 300 quid on average for the cheapest ticket for Clash and 1500 quid for ringside. Just imagine what tickets for WrestleMania are going to start at being the most expensive. It doesn't really bear thinking about.
I'd love it to come over to the UK, I really would. But the fact that they're doing those prices, I'd much rather go over to America because I can justify it. You know that if you went to Mania, you're looking for the full package, the full week of festivities, roughly about $3,000-$3,500 all in for flights, accommodation, transfers, tickets, Hall of Fame, SmackDown, Raw, NXT, you know, all of these, the fan zones, you know, you're expecting that. But then if I'm going to London, you know, which a couple hours from my house, so I'm staying in a travel lodge and all of this, I'm paying the same amount of money. It takes away the sparkle of it a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, of course it does. And I mean, just to give you an example, a friend of the show, Ryan, who came to AW All In with us, he went to WrestleMania this year. Now, he did buy the combo ticket for this. He was unfortunately unable to go to WrestleMania Saturday. So he went to WrestleMania Sunday and Raw the night after. But he did buy a combo ticket for Mania Saturday and Sunday. He said, British pounds, his combo ticket. Yes, he was in the cheap seats. But his combo ticket for Mania worked out at £170. And his ticket for Raw was £80. So let's say about 250, 260 quid. For £250, yes, he had to pay accommodation. Yes, he had to pay travel going over to America. But for £250, he got WrestleMania Saturday, WrestleMania Sunday, and the Raw after Mania. And we're expected, on average, at a minimum of £300 just for, let's be honest, what's classed as like a B pay-per-view.
Clash of the Castle. Titles are going to change hands. Nothing really is going to happen on it. And an extra 100 quid on top of actually seeing WrestleMania.
Yeah, mad. Right. Less of the negativity, more to the... the more negativity of the draft. Let's have a look at it. So,
I really enjoyed it.
I was just waiting for that, like, oh my God, I can't believe they moved that person there. I can't believe they called that person up.
You don't really monitor the NXT bit. Like with the NXT bit, I've seen certain superstars develop. Like I've been watching Ilya Dragunov when he sort of debuted in NXT UK. And I've seen him actually being called up. I'm like, yeah, this is... Same with Kiana James. She's come like way all the way through. Like it's like a proud moment. You've seen these people develop over the years, you know?
Proud mummy moment. That's what it is. Right. SmackDown round one. The first pick, Joe, Bianca Belair stays on SmackDown. The first pick, Bianca Belair.
Yeah, you know my opinion on Bianca Belair. I think she's a good wrestler. I just don't. I'm not a big fan of her character, but I think the story, there is like more story going with her, and obviously she's got a reality TV show with Montez Ford, and she, you know what my opinion on her, she just needs a big change in her character. She needs to turn heel. But yeah, I guess it makes sense because she's.
Do we
like,
think it was more of a statement of the fact that they're saying, oh, that it's you know, it's a female wrestler, so it's a woman being the number one over.
Yeah, they made a big point of saying that on Raw. She's the first black female wrestler to be drafted so highly.
So you can see that's why. Well, Dan, number one overall pick two, but number one pick for Raw. Jey Uso is the number one pick, Jey Uso.
Yeet. And, you know, you look at it and you see the matches for Backlash, the title matches. Obviously, they need to draft the people that are facing the champions. They're saying that the champions are safe, but the championships aren't. So you really realistically need to draft the contenders because you risk, not if you don't do that, losing them to the other brand and losing the title. So it makes sense that way. In terms of who they had in the pool, I think it is a very, very clever pick. And, you know, he is selling a lot of merch. He's got a lot of traction. He does light up the room when he comes on screen. He's in the main event this week. Yeah. You know, and that thing that he had with Logan Paul, although they're on opposite brands, it just goes to show it had a bit of traction. It really was doing well. So I think it made sense for the picks that they had on SmackDown, but it also makes sense because he's facing the world champion this weekend. You want to make sure that world title stays on Raw.
Fair enough. And then the other two picks in round one, Carmelo Hayes from NXT to SmackDown and Seth Rollins stays on Raw.
Yep, he is him. We've been waiting for him to be called up for absolutely months. They've teased him having a couple matches here and there. The guy's a total package. He's amazing on the microphone. He's got a good look. He's absolutely insane in the ring. You know, really, he can go like an hour. He's like an Iron Man. Like, he's a really good wrestler. And when he debuted in NXT, he got in Adam Cole's face, the top person in NXT, and said, no, it's all about ruthless aggression. I'm challenging the biggest person that I can find. What did he do when he went up to Cody Rhodes and said, you're the biggest dog in the fight and I'm challenging you? And yeah, it was only like an 8.5 minute match, which potentially could have gone longer. But when Cody was coming back from his torn pec, he trained with Carmelo Hayes and Joe Gacy. So he's very familiar with how they wrestle. And I thought the match was really, really good. There was a little botch spot where they both came off the ring ropes and Cody seemed to jar his shoulder a little bit. But no, great pick for SmackDown, future Intercontinental, US, Tag, potentially World Champion material as well. I think the sky's the limit for him, and it's an absolute great pick.
They made him look like a million bucks. They made him look really good on this. So, like, as Dan said, like, coming out challenging Cody Rhodes as soon as you get picked, like, I want a match against you, they just made him look amazing.
Round two, then. Randy Orton stays on SmackDown. Bron Breakker goes to Raw. Nia Jax goes to SmackDown. And Liv Morgan stays on Raw. Now, Joe, out of those four, the one that jumps out at me the most, Bron Breakker, explain this one. The guy basically only gets called up to the main roster about a month ago, if that, teases for a couple of weeks, or which brand are you going to sign for, and then signs on the dotted line standing next to Nick Aldis and Adam Pearce saying, oh, here you go, I signed for SmackDown. He's officially been on SmackDown for 3 weeks and now he's gone over to Raw.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, Nick Aldis, like, spent all that time and effort trying to get Bron Breakker, like, promising all those years, like, oh, yeah, you know, I've got the best contract you could sign. And then all of a sudden, it was just like, oh, Bron Breakker's on Raw now. I think the only positive I could probably bring out is that's the whole point of the draft. It's, like, unpredictable and people could go anywhere. But as you said, like, they might as well have just left Bron Breakker, left him as a free agent until the draft, and then drafted him to Raw, like, kind of a bit of a waste of time, really, like, signing him to SmackDown for, like, 2 weeks or 3 weeks, however long he was on the SmackDown show for, and then to put him on Raw seems a bit of a waste, but I guess there's a reason for it, but I don't know what that is.
What's your thoughts on that, Dan?
Yeah, there's a really key reason why they've done it. Raw is 3 hours, SmackDown is 2 hours. You want to build Bron Breakker like a big Goldberg character. He's going in. He's like, all he's done is have squash matches. Squash Cedric Alexander, squash Zion Quinn. He's squashing all of these people every single week. On SmackDown, 2-hour show, you know, they're struggling, trying to give all these people a bit of airtime. But when you've got a 3-hour show with Bron Breakker, they can fit in every single week and having a 2-3 minute match, squashing people, building up those wins. The IC title at the moment is tied up with Chad Gable and Bronson Reed. Eventually, they're going to need challenges for whoever wins that title. And you can see Sheamus sniffing down it as well from their backstage segment this week. But I think it all comes down to Raw being a 3-hour show. And if you want to build a new star like Bron Breakker having those squash matches, a 3-hour show is perfect for him. Because instead of him having the odd match now and again on SmackDown, he can have a segment each and every week on Raw. They can build him properly. And then we're coming more towards the end of the year near Survivor Series. And he can be picking up his first ever championship going into like WrestleMania season. So I think if you look at the overall build for the year, building him as a powerhouse, putting a lot of stock into him, him being on Raw, which is a 3-hour show, it just makes sense. And it gives him the best light that they can.
Round three then. LA Knight remains on SmackDown. Ricochet remains on Raw. The Bloodline remains on SmackDown. And Sheamus goes from SmackDown to Raw.
I thought Sheamus was on Raw and he stayed on Raw.
No, Sheamus goes from SmackDown to Raw. That's official.
No, he was already on because he was on a promo with Drew McIntyre last week. He's always been sort of Raw. I mean, it doesn't
really I assure you, though, as far as the pool, he was classed as a SmackDown wrestler.
Ah, fair enough. I mean, they are good and solid picks. It's a means to an end. I forgot another thing. You said Ricochet went to Raw.
Ricochet stayed on Raw.
Which makes sense. Samantha Irvin is his partner. She's the commentator or the ring announcer. So to keep him there, it just makes sense. Obviously, they've got the Speed Championship as well. Spoiler alert, yeah, he does have a very good opportunity to potentially win it. He hasn't already won it. You know, it's a title that they potentially are picking. They say that brands are locked, their championships are locked, but actually that championship isn't locked. Granted, the winner hasn't been officially announced for it yet. They haven't aired that footage. But it's a very clever pick. And I think you do need to bolster your roster with talented people that also do have those 5-10 years worth of experience as well. So I do think they're solid picks. And they are ones that aren't really shaking up the foundation too much, but they are the ones that you need to bolster your roster.
And the final round, the fourth round, because there was only four rounds on this show for SmackDown, with it being a shorter show, AJ Styles remains on SmackDown. Alpha Academy remain on Raw. Andrade goes from Raw to SmackDown. And another NXT call-up over to Raw, Kiana James.
Yeah, me and Dan are big fans of Kiana James. We think she's been ready for a very long time. So it was kind of a surprise, but it's very long overdue that we think she's been ready for a long, long time. Really happy for her. Alpha Academy, it's interesting to see what they're going to do now. Obviously, now Chad Gable's going to be more of a heel kind of character, see what they do with that. So, yeah, overall happy with all the picks, to be fair.
You could tell, couldn't you, both on this one, that whenever they cut to the NXT arena?
Performance Centre.
Is it just at the Performance Centre? It's not the Capital Wrestling, whatever it was.
Yeah, it's the PC.
Whenever they went back to the Performance Centre then where NXT wasn't. I like the setup, the way that they did it with the NXT wrestlers on the floor and up the stairs and in the ring and with the crowds as well. That was good. But you could tell they hadn't told the NXT call-ups that they were being called up. It was as much as a surprise to them.
There was one or two they had told. They already had hats available. Like
I think Dijak, it was example, probably the women. Certainly on Raw last night, the two women.
They were emotional. They were so emotional. But yeah, Kiana James, like, she was just rushed a hat, given a hat. She was quite surprised. But, like, with Dijak, he already had, like, red sunglasses in his jacket and a red T-shirt ready to go. He knew he was being called up. Obviously, Carmelo Hayes knew he was being called up because he was backstage. So that wasn't too much of a surprise. But yeah, Kiana James, absolutely brilliant. There's a few people that, like Kiana James, for example, she used to be, she had a couple of dark matches in AEW before she signed in WWE. In 2020 she signed with that big bolster intake, but she's got the 401k, she's a business lady, she's the boss lady, she's a solid in-ring worker and she is a natural heel, former NXT tag champion as well with Fallon Henley, where I was quite surprised we didn't get called up, but she's a solid worker. They needed to build that women's division up They had some great people, but I think you get fed up with seeing the same matches over and over again. You know, there's only so many times we can see Maxxine Dupri versus Indy Hartwell every single week. So it's nice that we've got that. And I think it's brilliant, you know, especially in the last round, you don't expect much. But actually, this time next year, we could be saying that she's a Money in the Bank or a former a women's champion. You never know how it'll go.
Well, we will see. And nice to see some legends as well. We saw Michelle McCool, Tori Wilson, Dudley Boyz, Teddy Long, JBL. They were there to read out some picks, let's say. We had the, I'm not sure if you were aware, I'm sure you were. We also had, straight after SmackDown, the supplemental draft to the talent that didn't quite make it onto the televised picks, because let's be honest, they're probably not quite as important. but a brief rundown of them. Alba Fire and Isla Dawn from SmackDown to Raw. Cedric Alexander and Ashanti Adonis stay on SmackDown. Ivar stays on Raw. Shayna Baszler stays on Raw. The OC stay on SmackDown. Zoe Stark stays on Raw. And it's happened. The comeback's on from NXT to SmackDown. Baron Corbin, Joe.
Yeah, I think it's well deserved. Me and Dan, as you know, are big fans of NXT. And this time last year, when Baron Corbin was a free agent, he went back down to SmackDown. And he basically had this gimmick where he burnt all of his old gimmicks. He burnt the world, Lone Wolf. He burnt everything. And he's been going on like a really big tear and he was a really good heel. And then the last couple of months, he's been tagging with Bron Breakker and he won the NXT Tag Team Championship. But yeah, whatever he had lost in his confidence, I think he's gained back again, like teaming with Bron Breakker and like his like heel run down in NXT. He's like gained back the confidence he's lost. So I'm actually really happy that he's come back, because it definitely needed a change, and it seems like whatever he's found out at NXT is working for him, so I'm glad.
Let's hope it finally clicks this time, because I like Baron Corbin when he's doing a serious gimmick. I wasn't a fan of having
retired Kurt Angle, so I mean, know how much you like him.
Yeah, he retired my favourite wrestler, yeah. I forgot about that. right, not his fault, though. That was he must not be named Vince McMahon title. It should have been John Cena. Right, night two then, Raw. And we kick things off with round one with the number one overall pick, which I was very happy with, staying on Raw, Imperium, Gunther and Ludwig Kaiser. Jay Cargill remains on SmackDown. Damage Control goes from SmackDown to Raw. Kevin Owens remains on SmackDown, Dan.
Yeah, with Imperium, I mean, they're good. They used to be in a really good stable on the indies. Can't remember their name. But yeah, great to see them staying. I think with Gunther, it's really going to be his year of... elevating himself and potentially winning King of the Ring, going for the world title. Yeah. You know, there might be the chance of, you know, a Royal Rumble win as well. There's been rumblings of him potentially being the one that sort of shakes it up.
Pun intended.
You know, he might be going for the world title, see what he can do. In terms of Damage Control, it's great they're going for a SmackDown tour. It's getting a bit stale with the Bayley thing, feuding with the Cargills and stuff. The good thing with those tag titles, no matter what happens at Backlash, they can be dependent on either brand. Well, either three of the brands, to be honest, or SmackDown or NXT. Overall, good first picks. Jade Cargill staying on SmackDown as well. It's one of those things that Aldis really had to fight to get her. And she is money. She looks epic. And there's so many dream matches that could come up. You know, you've got the Naomi's and the Bianca Belairs that she potentially could feud with down the line as well. You know, seeing Nia Jax versus Jade Cargill as well would be an absolute barn burner. So I'm excited to see the future matches. Let's see where it goes. But yeah, great first round picks. They're the sort of picks that I would have done as well.
Okay. Wouldn't have had CM Punk in round one, but don't worry, he was in round two.
Because he's probably going to have another match and get injured again, Pepsi Phil.
True. Punk remains on Raw. The entire pride of Bobby Lashley, the Street Profits and B-Fab remain on SmackDown. Braun Strowman, who also returned on Raw, stays on Raw, and Tiffy Time stays on SmackDown.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I think Braun Strowman looked really impressive like towards the end, because they had the bit with like Logan Paul and Patrick Mahomes, and then the Judgment Day, then Braun Strowman like came down and like chased them off basically. But yeah, I'm glad to see Braun Strowman's back. I believe he's been out with a neck injury, I believe. So it's nice to see him back.
And they did the CM Punk thing before, you know, drafting Drew McIntyre. I think just to build that feud a little bit more. They like to have a little bit of a feud coming off the draft.
That was a good segment. That was a good segment on Raw as well, with McIntyre and Punk not knowing Punk was going to be there, and then being up in the box at the top, and then Drew going up there, and then CM Punk coming out and sitting in the ring.
Love that side autograph as well. I hope they gave that away. Yes. And his autograph's the same as when we got his autograph in the Newport Neon when he went and wrestled for UCW back in the day.
Sell it.
He wrestled Steve Corino.
Yeah, he wrestled Steve Corino, he did. That was really good. Yeah, Steve Corino was selling... Well, he was selling Polaroids, Steve Corino was. We didn't know what we were watching back in the day, but it was £5 and it was only a couple of minutes from our house. So we thought, you know, let's go check this out. But yeah, we still got, I made a You Suck sign. I was the only one who made a sign. I think I was like 15 or 16 at the time. But yeah, I got a sign by CM Punk. He signed it for free. But Steve Corino was charging a fiver for a Polaroid with him, and then he would sign it. Like, come on, mate.
Surprised he didn't charge an extra couple of quid for the signature.
Well, he works in the PC now, doesn't he? Good old Steve Corino. Is it Colby Corino, his son? Is he in, I don't know where he wrestled. I think he might be in the WWE now as well.
Maybe. Round three, Latino World Order. Interestingly enough, and like you said, including Carlito, goes from SmackDown to Raw. Let's not forget who else is on Raw. Dom.
Or Dirty Sanchez, as his dad called him on Raw.
Legado del Fantasma remains on SmackDown. Drew McIntyre remains on Raw. And Shin... Suke Nakamura goes from Raw to SmackDown.
He goes every single draft to a different brand.
He does.
Literally, every draft he moves. Next year, when we're predicting the draft, I'm going to predict that Shinsuke Nakamura goes back to Raw.
Good shout. Round four, the Judgment Day remains on Raw. Naomi remains on SmackDown. You alluded to it earlier, Dan. Ilya Dragunov goes from NXT to Raw, and Chelsea Green and Piper Niffer go from Raw to SmackDown, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, seeing the Mad Dragon get called up, really, really happy with that. He was interviewed on a WWE exclusive afterwards and said, well, how do you feel about being on the same brand as Gunther? You know, they've had the highest rated WWE match of all time down in NXT UK. Knowing that we've got the potential of having that run back, also knowing that potentially Ilya could be now the new third member.
Well, I was just going to suggest that now, what's his chops has gone.
Yeah, it'd be really good. I mean, they make better enemies than they do friends. You can tell they're friends in real life. But the Mad Dragon going up to the main roster. I know that his family do live in Dresden. It'd be interesting to see if he's now moved his family across to America. It would make sense because the guy is really good talent. He has had to develop his like promo skills and his sort of acting element of it. It was a little bit overacting at times, but the guy's an absolute technician in the ring. He does some moves that you've never seen done before. He engages with the crowd. He's really got like people that are impulsed to him. They want to watch him. I think it's an absolute steal. You know, he only dropped the belt to Trick Williams, what that trick last week on NXT. And I think that was a foregone conclusion. He was getting called up after then, sort of a passing of the torch. But that was the pick of that round, to be fair. And getting the Mad Dragon's absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, happy to see and good to see what he's going to do. Round five, Joe. The New Day remained on Raw. Pretty Deadly remained on SmackDown.
Lyra yes, boy!
Is it Lyra Valkyria?
Lyra Valkyria. You can call a bird lady, bird person. They all work.
From NXT to Raw, you can see I don't watch NXT much, and Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell go from Raw to SmackDown. So yeah, Joe, another NXT call-up and another female.
Yeah, again, someone who's been ready, me and Dan have been watching for a long, long time on NXT. She's been ready for a long, long time. Again, she was on NXT UK, then she's been on NXT for a couple of years. She had an absolute banger with Becky Lynch, and she's on the same show with Becky Lynch, so I think they're going to run that back of Becky Lynch versus Lyra Valkyria but on Monday Night Raw. Somebody who you can put in that women's contendership match to challenge Becky possibly for the next match, or you know, if Liv Morgan wins and the next pay-per-view, maybe Liv Morgan. But yeah, definitely she's in that caliber and she's so good, so I'm glad to see Lyra Valkyria.
I think it's an easy one. Becky comes out and goes under an open challenge, and you can Lyra can come out and go, well, I actually beat you for the NXT title. I know how to beat you. I can beat the man. It's already sad. You'd like to build it for like a pay-per-view. Like having that sort of match at Clash would be absolutely brilliant. But yeah, seeing her being called up is absolutely brilliant. They've changed the name. She was Aoife Valkyrie before. Now she's Lyra Valkyria. Solid worker. you know, absolutely brilliant. She really does connect with the crowd as well. And I think when they put the title on her, they could see actually that the crowd really got behind her, and she could be somebody that could help carry that brand. You needed to refresh the women's division, and I think that that one ultimately does it. And you could see she was absolutely shocked when she had that news. She was not expecting it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, she was shocked, and so was the final pick of the draft. So we had the final testament, the round six, the final testament go from SmackDown to Raw. I mean, I feel that's well
needed. The losers.
Anything to, I know, but anything to try and keep something going for Karrion Kross, for Christ's sake. DIY go from Raw to SmackDown, probably a good move for them as well. Bronson Reed remains on Raw. And then, yeah, Blair Davenport, NXT to SmackDown, Dan.
Yeah, be briefly, Blair Davenport going up to the main roster. To be honest, I don't know why she even went to NXT. You know, she was a very well established. She was in World of Sport. Then she was in AEW. She left AEW because it's a Tim Pop company. Then she joined WWE. She kind of joined it during the pandemic era. She was already in London near the BT studios, so it made sense for her to sort of do that. She had some absolute barn burners. You know, she's a solid in-ring technician. She used to go out with Will Ospreay, obviously. She trained and wrestled with him as well. I really suppose she even went to NXT in the first place. She's somebody that I feel didn't even need extra training. She could have gone straight to the main roster. She doesn't put a foot wrong. She's an absolutely brilliant technician, and she's a kick-ass
vicious
heel.
As well.
Vicious. She had a spring break match with Sol Ruka and really put Sol Ruka over on last week's episode of NXT. So she can put people over, but also she hasn't had a championship yet. She's the current Iron Survivor of NXT. She won the Iron Survivor Challenge. So yeah, brilliant. You know, it's no arguments for me. It's all of my picks from NXT bar Gallus actually got called up. Gallus are the only ones that haven't, but I think with Gallus, they're one of these ones you can see in the future coming up before Clash. But really happy. And you know, there's always a habit that the last pick in the last round always does quite well. I think it was Grayson Waller last year. He was the last pick.
Yeah.
And you've seen what he's done ever since. He's, you know, you're having promo battles with The Rock and all sorts. So
and John Cena and yeah.
Yeah.
And
that, so that last pick of the last round. Yeah, it just goes to show that is the pick that you want. It's the one to watch spot. You know, I think it was Alexa Bliss before, years ago, she got called up.
Yeah.
She was the last pick of the last round. So really good, strong position. That is somebody I've got no doubts whatsoever. She is going to win a women's title.
Good stuff. So, yeah, so that wrapped up the draft, the televised draft for Raw. But, of course, the supplemental picks, they had to carry on. Apollo Crews from Raw to SmackDown, not going to lie. Completely forgot about Apollo Crews. Thought he was still lagging about back in NXT, but apparently he's been on Raw. He's gone to SmackDown now. Diamond Mind remain on Raw. T-Bar, Dijak, is that not T-Bar? He's left. Yeah, he's left NXT again. He's back on the main roster. He's back on Raw. Fingers crossed. Hopefully they'll do something with
him. He will absolutely smash it. He's been getting over on NXT. And I called it, especially he had one of the matches of the weekend at WrestleMania in that three-way for the North American title. So brilliant. And I love his new character. It's very, I'm serious. I'm the Terminator. It's going to be good to see on the main roster.
Giovanni Vinci from Raw to SmackDown. Interesting, that one. I thought they might keep him on Raw to have a bit of a feud with Imperium, but...
Fresh start. He had a model gimmick in NXT before he got called up.
Fresh start, but I worry for him. I worry that he will be the... What was he called in Heavy Machinery?
Tucky.
Yeah, he'll be the Tucky.
I think, if anything, he could be a future champion. He, skill-wise, he was one of the... He was in the Cruiserweight Classic. Like, have you watched his matches, like in a singles match? He's brilliant. He's very good. He's like Grand Metalik almost. He's like really good on the ropes. He can do springboards and all sorts. I think in Imperium, you couldn't really do that. It's more the mat is sacred. Everything we do, mat, in-ring, technician, all stuff. But he is an actual gifted high flyer. And I think that opens that box for him to actually do that sort of stuff. And his model stuff he was doing in NXT was absolutely hilarious, where he was walking around in Gucci suits and telling people to, like, charging people for photos on the way to the ring. He has the opportunity now to actually absolutely flourish. So I'm excited to see that.
Fingers crossed then. Caden Carter and Katana, I can't even speak now.
Caden Carter and Katana
Chance. There we go. Remained on Raw. Natalia remains on Raw. New Catch Republic go from SmackDown to Raw. It's all very Raw-based. Tegan Knox goes from Raw to SmackDown. This is an interesting one, guys. Odyssey Jones goes to Raw. What brand was Odyssey Jones on?
He was on SmackDown before. He mainly is in like main event matches. He did a couple of the test matches for Speed. The guy's really good. He's an amazing personality, but they just haven't used him. So hopefully they do something with him.
I'll correct you slightly. It was more of a trick question. He's actually already on Raw, not SmackDown. He was drafted last year in the 2023 draft to Raw, and he has not made a single Raw appearance.
But he has been on...
he's been on main event and stuff, as you say. But yes, he's not made a single... So he's drafted from Raw to Raw. He's staying there, guys. His job's safe. He's not appeared for a year on the draft that he was drafted... on the brand he was drafted to. But he's staying on Raw. So he's safe perhaps for another year. Some interesting notes to make then. Wrestlers that weren't included. Alexa Bliss, she's on maternity. Big E, it is neck. Brock Lesnar, who knows? Carmella, maternity. Charlotte Flair's got a knee injury. Dexter Loomis, unknown.
He's acting somewhere and he's doing some firefighter TV show or something.
It's like Chicago Fire he's doing, I think.
His last appearance was on June last year, so we're coming up to a year, and that was our main event. There are rumours he might be part of the Wyatt Six, but we'll see.
That'd be pretty cool.
Eric from the, whatever they're called, Viking Raiders, is it these days?
He's injured.
A neck injury. Jimmy Uso is apparently injured at the moment as well, so he wasn't drafted. Nikki Cross, it's a status unknown, but I've read she's currently doing a PhD, and that might be the reason why she's not about at the moment, so that would make sense. Here's the big one. 2 years, in fact, I'll leave this one till the end because you might be able to guess who I'm going to say. Raquel Rodriguez injured. Rhea Ripley injured. Roman Reigns, well, he's the tribal chief. He can do what he wants. He just pulled himself from eligibility of being in
the draft. Also filming a movie.
Of course he is, exactly, yeah. So they need to throw something out there. He can do what he wants, it's Reigns. Shotzi injury, Sonya Deville injury. Tamina's retired.
Sonya Deville's on her way back, I think. She's here, but they want to sell.
So I'm not even including Tamina. Valhalla on maternity leave.
She's pregnant.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing here that does list here, Uncle Howdy. It does list that it says, unknown, it says, was originally inactive due to Bray Wyatt's absence, but following Wyatt's death in August 2023, Howdy's status has been unknown. Well, let's see what happens. Unless I skipped through it, because I did skip through some of Raw, I didn't see any teasers for Howdy this week.
There was like a flicker. Yeah, but I've gone from, like, when they first started doing it, when it was Bray Wyatt coming in, I've gone to go, you know what, I'll just check Twitter in the morning and exactly, somebody will have worked it out for me. I'm a bit lazy now. I'm just like, somebody will have gone to the effort.
The main one then, see if you can guess who it was. This particular individual was not drafted. They also were not drafted last year. They have now been a free agent for two drafts in a row. They were the free agent. He's so great. He doesn't need to be on any brand because he just wrestles house shows and televised battle royals. That's all the guy does. Or a royal.
It works out well. You squashed Cesaro a couple of times. You know, I think they will have stuff to do, but they're picking it. You know, they don't want him losing to people. They want to show him being like a giant. No,
exactly.
So all good. And they've got MVP teaching him as well. So I'm not too worried about Omos. You know, he's great and people always gasp when they see him.
We'll see. Right. This week then, guys, I worry about this. I have a feeling. Oh, here we go. Jamie's definitely not going to be joining us. He's having vodka Chinese and watching a Modern Family marathon. As if he's got a podcast to record. We could let him off. It's his birthday. I worry about this week's premium live event, guys, Backlash, because at the moment, there's only five matches announced.
I don't get why they do a pay-per-view just after the draft, because of like, well, we know it's not like we know the matches aren't going to matter because he literally just decided where
it's
going to go.
It's not
so like no titles are going to change hands really. Well, maybe
it's the first time having a pay per view in Lyon, France, in France in general. I think there will be some surprises. They might pull out like John Cena or something. I think it would be worth watching.
This could very well be our quickest ever pay per view prediction because Jamie sent me his predictions. my predictions are exactly the same as Jamie's. And I have a feeling, unless one of you two is going to throw up a bit of a crazy thing, your predictions are probably going to be exactly the same. Because I know the Triple H era is technically only just started around Mania. That's kind of like the pinpoint for the point of. But let's be honest, he's kind of been in charge for a good 6, 7, 8 months now as far as the creative aspect side of things. If we can take any negative, and I'm not saying it is a negative, but if we can take any negative from it, I feel like the last few cards of the last few pay-per-views have been quite predictable, and this might be the most predictable of them. So I'm going to do this slightly different this time round. Oh, Joe is
fiddling with his headset.
Breaking my ears. I'm going to just go to each of you and just give me a rundown of all the matches at once rather than going round, because I've just got a feeling we're all going to be pretty close. And I will go first on this one. I tell you what, me and Jamie will go first because we've said exactly the same thing. So if we start with the Bloodline versus Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, me and Jamie are both saying the Bloodline. It makes sense from that standpoint. The only way in which I think perhaps there might be some shenanigans in it is if the Bloodline potentially get disqualified, if Jacob Fatu makes an appearance and takes out Randy Orton and Kevin Owens. But I've got to, you know, or perhaps Kevin Owens and Randy Orton do get the win and then he comes out and helps beat them down afterwards. But I think if you're trying to build up this new Bloodline, almost like this split off from the original Bloodline, they need a strong start, especially since Solo Sikoa is not won for 7 years, like since he beat John Cena. So we're both going with a Bloodline on that. The women's tag team match, Kabuki Warriors defending against Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill. I would assume this is where they take the titles off the Kabuki Warriors. They've had it for a while now. It would make sense to put it on Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, especially it protects Jade Cargill from still being slightly green of being in a tag team, but she can also be a champion as well. Bayley versus Naomi versus Tiffy Time. I would love to see Tiffy Time win the title. She will win it eventually. She's not winning it this time round. Bayley is not dropping the title just after winning it in a Mania. Damian Priest defending the world title against Jey Uso. Guess what? Damian Priest ain't dropping the title to Jey Uso this close after WrestleMania. And he's not dropping it to Jey Uso anyway, full stop. And then Cody Rhodes defending the WWE Championship against AJ Styles. Guess what, Dan? Guess what, Joe? Cody Rhodes ain't dropping the title this close after Mania, and he's certainly not dropping the title probably for the next 2 to 3 years at the way they're going, unless he gets injured. I know there's been these rumours that he's hurt his elbow or shoulder or something, but I think it's more of a knock, they've said, so they're not concerned. So, yeah, Jamie said he thought that, but it definitely hasn't been confirmed yet. He thought that Becky Lynch might be defending her title against either Nia Jax or
Liv Morgan. Well, she said on Raw, you got your title shot, but they haven't really like built it. So I don't know if they'll say that.
Yeah.
Maybe Queen of the Ring.
I mean, it's only 5 matches so far, so they could throw another one in for a 6. So if they do, it might be that one. I mean, he said Becky, if it does happen, which I tend to agree with. I mean, like I said, me and Jamie have gone for exactly the same on this. And I honestly can't. The only one for me that kind of makes me, Kevin Owens, Randy Orton do it is that tag match. But I'm struggling, guys. I'm struggling. Dan, just give me your breakdowns.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's hard when you're going through all 5 at once. I think it would have been easier for me to say I predict that. The only one that's different is I will predict Randy Orton and Kevin Owens to go over the Bloodline, because if you look at the drafts, you've got Kevin Owens as in the first round pick, Randy Orton was a second round pick, Bloodline were a third round pick. Yeah, I think we may be getting the debut of a Jacob Fatu, but they'll have to fly him all the way to Lyon, France for that. It may be a lot easier to do that, maybe the SmackDown after. Plus, there's the Paul Heyman dissension as well. I think it doesn't really matter who wins, because there could be a brawl after the match happens, set up maybe sort of like a 6-man or a save somewhere. But yeah, I would go with having Randy Orton and Kevin Owens picking up a win on that one. Like you said, championships-wise, they're all retaining except for the women's tag team titles. I can see that going on Jade Cargill and Bianca. Bianca's not won a tag team title yet, so by doing this, it would make her a Triple Crown champion. So it makes sense, and it means it elevates Jade as well to the overall eventual, those two feuding each other if they put Jade Cargill's heel, or for Joe's delight, if they make Bianca Belair a heel. But yeah, all in all, pretty exactly the same, but I'm going for Randy and Kevin Owens to actually pick up the win over the Bloodline.
Okay, fair enough. So really the only difference on that one then, I will make sure that's noted. Joe, give me your thoughts on this predictable card.
I think as soon as you turned that, I think the Bloodline are going to go for Randy Orton and KO, but I do think that Jacob Fatu is actually going to debut in France, and there's going to be Bloodline interference, and that's going to cost Randy Orton and KO the match. So they're going to be close to winning. They're only going to coast three, and then Jacob Fatu comes in the ring to cost the match. I think the same as you guys, that Bianca Belair and Jade are probably going to win the tag belts. Same on the other ones. I think Bayley's probably going to win, and she's probably going to pin Naomi, I would say. Yeah, I agree with all the ones you said. Like, I think it's the most predictable show. Like, Backlash is always a B pay-per-view. I'm hoping the Backlash will be like what it was last year in Puerto Rico. Like, the crowd kind of make up for it. Like, okay, yeah, it's a predictable show, but I think Triple H will try and make it fun, even though it is predictable. He'll try and make it fun, and like, obviously, the crowd is going to make the most of it, because that area of the world doesn't have live events, and not ones that are on premium live events. So I think the crowd will make up for the lackluster card.
I think the one thing I'll say from it is that if it wasn't at 6 p.m. and I have been staying up for them since they all moved to Saturdays, because obviously I don't work on a Sunday. But admittedly, and I'm not knocking them for this at all, I'm not knocking the WWE, but if it wasn't for the fact that this was at 6 p.m, I don't actually think I would watch this one live. I probably would just get up on Sunday morning and watch it, just because nothing's really grabbing me from it. Said that, now something crazy will happen, you know. Maybe Cody is legitimately injured and he'll drop it to AJ. That quick. I very much doubt
John
it.
John Cena will come out and say that Paris fans
WrestleMania. You just know it's happening. Of course you do. I haven't really got much more to say about Backlash, guys. It'll be enjoyable no matter what, because they'll put on a
will
show.
There be a crowd show? Will we have Los Lotharios versus the Street Profits? Who knows?
Will there be a cash-in? Oh, no, wait, we can't say that now, can we? I don't know. We'll see. It'd be interesting to see if they do add another match to make it up to six. Or when
a three-way would be quite good, because they've got the Chad Gable, Sami Zayn and Bronson Reed thing going on. A three-way with that would be pretty decent. There's rumblings of the Alpha Academy. What's it called? Diamond Mine joining the Alpha Academy as well. So you never know. Something could happen sort of pre-show. I think there is some more call-ups that haven't been done yet. We definitely waiting for Gallus to come in. I see Gallus aligning with like a Drew McIntyre.
We're waiting for Omos. That's what we're waiting for.
Oh, God, imagine him being on a 10-hour flight over to Lyon, France.
Well, that's Backlash. A whistle-stop tour, should I say, for Backlash to Tyrone. Hopefully there's a bit more to talk about it on next week's show, but we'll see. Right, shall we quiz it?
Yes, we can.
So it's just you two this week. So, Joe, you finally picked up a point, didn't you, last week? So Dan's on two, Joe's on one. No Jamie this week, and obviously I can't take part because I'm hosting. So, Joe, there's a chance here to make it all square with Dan. So I have written a quiz, and this is 10 questions as a bonus just in case. What? This week's quiz is on the history of the WWE draft.
Yay!
Yay! Question one. What was unique about the 2019 WWE draft? There was something very unique about 2019. Question two. Who, and this is a one pointer, but there's two parts to it. Who was the first pick and for what brand in the first ever draft in 2002? The first pick and for what brand? And it is only for 1 point. Question three. who quit the WWE after he was drafted to Raw in 2004? Who quit the WWE after he was drafted to Raw in 2004?
Interesting.
Question four. Who was the first person to be drafted twice in one night? Question five. The 2005 draft was the first draft to change from the normal nightly draft by doing what? I'll repeat that. The 2005 draft was the first draft to change from the normal nightly draft, so on Raw and SmackDown, by doing what? Some of these you'll kick yourselves out and see you thinking, and you'll go, oh, yeah. Question six. In 2006, and I did not remember this, and I had to have a look, there was an ECW draft. How many superstars were drafted to ECW? So in 2006, there was an ECW draft. How many superstars were drafted to ECW?
Yeah, I remember that, because it was like Benoit was drafted. And
question seven. After the 2011 draft, there was a little break. When was the next draft? Or what year? So after 2011, what year was the next draft?
I think WWE needs to get double glazing because they're getting so many drafts.
Question eight. The 2016 draft saw the first ever NXT pick to move up to the main roster. Who was drafted? I'll give you a clue. They were drafted to Raw from NXT. 2016. Question nine. The 2017 draft was not called the WWE draft. They changed its name. What was it called?
Cool.
I believe it was called this for 2 or 3 years, it was. And question 10. The 2020 draft took place from the Thunderdome. It's a point each for this. Which two wrestlers were the number one pick for Raw and the number one pick for SmackDown? 2020 during the Thunderdome. Who was to go into Raw as number one and who was SmackDown's number one pick? Right, we good?
Yeah.
Question one. Can either of you tell me then? I'll go to Joe first. What was unique about 2019's draft?
They drafted people on Twitter.
Good shout. Not correct, however, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I wish I had time to change it, because you kind of made it wrong further down when you were asking questions. But I said first to include NXT superstars.
2019 draft was interesting in the fact that in 2019, there was, for the first time ever, there was two drafts. They held two drafts in the same year in 2019, one around Easter and one in October.
Ah, cool.
I assume it was probably because I think that might have been the year it moved to Fox in the fall, so they redid it again a few months later. So
I remember that, yeah. Because they probably never planned Fox hats to, on and stuff, didn't they?
Yeah, they probably never planned to do two in that year. They ended up doing two. So question two, Dan, who was the first ever draft pick back in 2002, and to what brand?
Rock to Raw.
Joe.
Randy Orton to SmackDown.
Oh, you're both wrong. It was The Rock, but it was The Rock to SmackDown.
Oh, mate.
Vince McMahon chose The Rock to SmackDown, and
surely
I believe
I got
to
get a point for The Rock.
Pick two was Ric Flair was GM, and he was the Undertaker to Raw.
Surely I've got to have a point for The Rock. I predicted The Rock, and I got The Rock.
I did say, and to what show?
That is mean. It should be like 2 points. Yeah, which one and which show? It's like, oh, come
well,
on.
Well, I tell you what, I can't give you a full point. Would Joe allow half a point?
Yeah.
Oh, all right, then he said yes, so that's fine. There we go. Have half a point. Question three, Joe. Oh, Dan, sorry, I'll show you. Who quit the WWE after he was drafted to Raw in 2004?
I didn't know. I'll go with Ric Flair.
Joe.
Chris Jericho.
Guys, don't forget Eric Bischoff pulled it out the tombola, and it was Paul Heyman whilst he was the general manager for SmackDown. He got drafted as a Raw and he quit live on the stage. Question four, Joe, who was the first person to be drafted twice in one night?
Kane.
Dan.
John Cena.
It was John Cena, of course it was. And I think it's the only person. I don't think it's happened since, but anyway.
I don't think so.
Question five, Dan. The 2005 draft was the first to change from the normal nightly draft to doing what?
Going on WWE.com.
Joe?
I put online to WWE.com as well.
Unfortunately, incorrect. It was the first time that the draft was held over 4 weeks. They didn't do it all on Raw and SmackDown. They did it over 4 weeks worth of Raw and SmackDown.
What a boring.
Over eight shows. And I do remember that thinking, oh, God, we've got to wait till next week now. So, yeah. Question six, Joe. There was an ECW draft in 2006. How many superstars were drafted to ECW?
Five.
Dan.
It was question six, so I put six.
The answer is two. There was only two. Paul Heyman chose one from Raw, one from SmackDown. He chose Rob Van Dam from Raw and Kurt Angle from SmackDown.
Not Chris Benoit, then.
No. Question seven, Dan. After 2011, there was a bit of a break. There wasn't a draft for a certain amount of time. When was the next one?
2018.
Joe?
2013.
2016. Oh. Joe, the 2016 draft saw the first ever NXT call up to the main roster. They went to Raw. Who was it?
Kevin Owens.
Dan?
Finn Balor.
It was Finn Balor.
I remember.
Dan, 2017 draft wasn't called the WWE draft. What was it called?
It's called the Superstar Shakeup.
Joe?
I just put the auction.
It was the called
auction.
It was called the Superstar Shakeup, and it was for 2 or 3 years until they went back to the draft name. And then Joe, in number 10, the 2020 draft in the Thunderdome for a point for each. Who was Raw's first pick? Who was SmackDown's first pick?
I put Randy Orton for SmackDown and Kane for Raw.
Dan?
You absolutely loved Kane, don't you? It was Seth Rollins and Braun Strowman.
Oh, you're both wrong. Raw chose Drew McIntyre, and of course SmackDown chose Roman Reigns.
Wow, big dog.
There you go. Total of your scores, what have we got?
3.5.
Zero.
You got none?
Yeah.
Zero?
Yeah, I can't
do it. How many do you get, Dan?
3.5.
Oh, 3.5. The bonus point would have been how many drafts have there been overall? What would you guess it would have been?
2002, 2003, 2004, 5, 7, 9, 11, 22.
Joe, what would you have said?
25.
It was 18. Don't forget, there was a break for a few years. That was one of the questions. And in 1 year, we had two. So,
yeah.
There you go. So, Dan, you get the points. You're now on 3. So, we sit on... Jamie's on 5. I'm on 3. Dan's on 3. Joe is on 1. There we go. Joe, where can everybody find us on the socials?
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter. You can find us on Threads. We are at GrappleCast. Show and don't forget to like and subscribe us so you never miss an episode. I could also find us wherever you find your podcasts, on Apple Music, on Spotify, and all of that jazz as well.
Lovely stuff. So the question is, Dan and Joe, will you be braving the elements and staying up live for Backlash France?
I think we will be staying up for the Backlash, yeah.
Yeah, a couple of Red Bulls.
Red Bull?
Red Bull, 6 o'clock in the evening. I am at a 2-year-old's birthday party. However, I think I will be back in time. I think we're back for tea time. So, much to the delight of the wife, it'll be on TV. My son He's only two. He'll love it. He gets very excited. He'll think it's gladiators. Every time something looks like gladiators on TV, he goes, gladiators ready. He's when the BBC One iDent comes on, you know, like the iDents where he goes like, and next on BBC One, it's the news, whatever. When the iDent comes on, he just always thinks it's gladiators. So as soon as the iDent comes in, he goes, ready. So he'll think it's gladiators. So that'll think so. Yeah. Enjoy Backlash. Enjoy the fallout from it. Let's hope it's not too predictable. But then at the same time, I suppose you kind of want it to be predictable because we'd all then just be moaning that people have dropped the titles 3 weeks after winning them. So we'll see. Let's hope John Cena announces WrestleMania in France. Sign us off, Dan.
Yeah, so without further ado, I'll leave you with an earworm that will get stuck in your head like it has. Rey Mysterio's theme music from 2002. Because he's Mr. Mysterious and he's serious and he gets serious and delirious because everybody's curious. On that note, have a lovely evening, day, week, and we'll see you next time. Bang.
Good Lord. Ta-ra, guys. Jamie, Dan, and Joe on the